Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and greetings from Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. I am the vine, you are the branches, this is my text. Please be seated. This text, brothers and sisters, has been and is daily abused, distorted, and twisted. Twisted into law when in fact it is the blessed gospel. There can hardly be a more plain, emphatic, and beautiful statement of the gospel than this. I am the vine. You are the branches. The intimacy of a branch and vine implies acceptance, sameness of purpose, and deep connection. Jesus is the vine, and through holy baptism, which sustains us all our lives, we have been grafted into Christ with the healing pruning shears in the Father's capable hands. However, this text has been used to create self-righteousness, judgmentalism, and critical spirits. Those who pervert this text do so because they do not understand to whom Jesus was speaking, nor do they understand the kind of fruit that we are supposed to bear. They conclude that Jesus was speaking to everyone when in fact he wasn't. He was speaking to the apostles on the night in which he was betrayed. And they conclude wrongly that this fruit we are to bear should be moralistic, behavioral fruit. I was in the Baptist Communion, the Southern Baptist Convention, for 10 years as a preacher. When I finally fled after hearing the gospel for the first time at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Worth, Texas, which I did see the light, brothers, and I'll tell you why in just a few minutes. We used to joke about this text, saying that it gave us the right and the responsibility to go around through our congregation and be fruit inspectors. So if someone exercised their Christian liberty in a way which we disapproved, we would threaten them with the fact that they may be cut off from the vine because they were bearing sorry fruit. Fruit paranoia is a wonderful manipulation tool when we misunderstand this text. We also concluded, when it was convenient, that bearing fruit meant winning souls, bringing people to Christ. If someone did not bring enough others to the Lord to meet the budget, well, obviously, that particular congregational member had no fruit to show, and their entire Christian profession would be suspect. Therefore, we use these words of Christ to spread guilt and despair instead of hope and assurance, which they actually give. We discovered that fruit paranoia is also a great motivational tool. To understand the type of fruit we are supposed to bear, we need to look no further than who was speaking and who he is. Jesus said to his apostles, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, if we want to know what kind of fruit we need to be bearing, my friends, we need to ask the correct question. Unlike that obnoxious, what would Jesus do bracelet, we should ask correctly, what fruit would Jesus bear? For if we are intimately joined to him, then the fruit he bears by nature should come flowing through us. A grapevine produces grapes because it's the nature of the vine in the ground deeply rooted to do so. The branches only deliver what resides by nature in the vine itself. So the most important question regarding this text that we can ask is simply this. What fruit did Jesus bear by nature? And I can tell you, before God, the only fruit I know that Jesus bears is the forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation of this creation to God through the joining of God and man into one person who was willing to suffer for all of us so that we might be redeemed. Forgiveness of sins and reconciliation of the creation. That's the fruit he bears. That's the fruit he is. He said, for this cause came I into the world, to give my life a ransom for many. By becoming a piece of fruit himself on the tree of the cross, a fruit which Satan could not resist, he became the life-giving, life-changing vine planted deeply in the ground at the foot of the cross. By nature, here's what Jesus says. Here's the kind of fruit our Lord bears. Let him who has no sin cast the first stone. By nature, he says, get up from your mat. Your sins are forgiven. By nature, he says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Forgiveness flows through his resurrected veins. Harmony with God the Father resides in his physical body, for he brought God and us together again in his blessed incarnation. Peace courses through him because he came to be our peace when we could not find our own. New life floods from him, transforming us into new creatures, wholly transformed. Unexpected blessedness and righteousness pours from his wounds, covering us with undeserved robes. And when we are grafted into him, the only fruit we can bear, brothers in the ministry, the only fruit we can bear is the fruit he himself is, by providing forgiveness and the reconciliation that God offers to the entire creation, period. How do we bear Christ's fruit? The preached word and the sacraments. For in those things, we find forgiveness and reconciliation of the creation, and only there. Christ told us what his fruit looks like so that we don't have to sneak around being fruit inspectors. He told us what his fruit looks like. It looks like water pouring on the head of a sinner, washing away the grime of a bad conscience and providing a new clean conscience. It looks like a man in the pulpit preaching the gospel. It looks like a compassionate pastor, a sinner himself, announcing the absolution. His fruit looks like a little piece of bread and a littler sip of wine. The fruit of Christ, the word and sacraments which deliver him personally, deliver the powerhouse of the God-man. And these are what we to bear, not only if we feel like it, but because he has commanded us to. He has commanded us, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and whoever sins you remit shall be remitted in heaven, and whoever sins you retain shall be retained in heaven. For as St. Paul reminds us, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and that is our job as ordained pastors, to deliver that fruit to the people before they starve to death with meaningless so-called worship that waves at a sky. His fruit can never fail, for it does not depend on us. No group, no grapevine ever sat around meditating, struggling to bear fruit. The branch has no problem delivering the grapes, because the grapes naturally result from being in the vine. All the branch has to do is sit there, and the grapes take care of themselves, as long as they're rooted to the vine. Dear brothers in Christ, the office of the Holy Ministry is, and I've been doing this a long time, 10 years as a sorry Baptist and the rest a Lutheran. And let me tell you, I have no idea why my brothers in the ministry, I used to say sisters in the Baptist church, I guess that was a lapsus lingui. I don't know why my brothers in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Ministry, are hell-bent on being Baptists. I have come from the trough of that false doctrine, and I have come from a hopeless, dried-up, juiceless branch. I used to be one. Jesus truly said, I am the vine and you are the branches, and I am convinced before God that the fruit of Christ is this: offering the sacraments so that God's grace is delivered to the people who are in dire need of God's forgiveness. I have hope for this generation. I have hope for you young guys. I'm a vicar supervisor. May God help them all. But I believe that God Almighty, through his Holy Spirit, is raising up from among us young men who are bent on delivering the truth of this Lutheran confession. I became a Lutheran because a pastor said to me, so you want to know what we believe, do you? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, here it is. And he gave me the Book of Concord. And I lifted it up and said, oh, is that all? In the Baptist church, we were used to little cute pamphlets that made it easy for the folk. For 4 years, I studied the Book of Concord. For 4 years, and finally I began to understand the hardest thing it is for a sinner to understand, that God does not come to me as a floaty thingamabob that I can reach to heaven and somehow contact by some sort of bizarre electricity, but instead that God has mandated he comes to me where he says he'll come to me, in the waters of holy baptism, in this blessed supper, and in the word that's being preached when it's the gospel of Christ and when it's preached correctly. As a Baptist, I couldn't hold the sacraments. Why? Because I didn't believe that Jesus was really under that bread and wine. And I am here to tell you, my brothers, if you do not believe, truly believe, that Jesus is under that bread and wine, then you have a faulty Christology. And if you have a faulty Christology, you will have a faulty soteriology. And if you have a faulty soteriology, you'll have a faulty theology. You'll have the wrong Jesus and the wrong path to nowhere. I know I was there. And when I talk to my brethren like this in the holy ministry, they look at me as if I have become Cerberus with three heads. But I know of which I speak. When I became a Lutheran and realized that I had misled thousands of people, I wrote thousands of apology cards and sent them to the people, begging their forgiveness for having taught wrongly. I want to make sure that you understand as you go into the office of holy ministry that if you want to bear the fruit of Christ, you will most certainly bear the sacraments, because that's how he delivers who he is. That's who he delivers his blood. That's how he delivers his blood and his body. That's how he meets his people. And when you go into the hospital, and someone's on their deathbed, they don't want a meaningless prayer and some hand patting. They want the absolution from your mouth, because through you, Christ speaks and delivers the fruit he bears. And when somebody is going in for surgery and they're worried that they're not going to make it through it, they don't want some hand-patting, head-kissing prayer. They want the sacrament from your hand, the down payment of the resurrection to come. And when they go to church, they don't want to see a performance. They want to see you preach the truth of what Christ has delivered in its truth and purity, and without the slightest bit of timidity. I believe this gospel. And there is a wind, a very sorry wind blowing, not just in our synod, but around the world. The next big war we're going to have, brothers, is not over liturgy, is not over the songs we sing, is not over how many times we bow or how many times we fold our hands. All that's very nice and it's very pretty. But there is a war brewing over the person of Christ. Over the person of Christ. The only thing the church has ever fought about that meant anything was the person of Christ, who he is, what he did, and how we get it. And that's coming like a steamroller falling down the hill. And when I had the chance to stand here and preach this text, I couldn't say no. Because there are many who want to try and reach God apart from the sacraments. They want to be carried away. You know, I would rather be connected to the one who was carried away. They want what they call a living experience. But I would rather have a God that was willing to die. They want to have what they call a relevant worship. I would rather have a God that was irrelevant to the Roman government, even unto the death of the cross. They don't want to overdo the sacraments for fear they won't mean anything if you overdo them. But I would rather have the sacraments that mean everything, no matter what I feel about them. There is coming a day when we are going to have to stand sure-footed on the Augsburg Confession, and we are simply going to have to refuse to be moved from the person of Christ, the God-man who came into this creation to be lifted up in this creation so that he could deliver unto us the forgiveness of sins. And brothers, may the word of God always be on your mouth, may his sacraments always be in your hands, and may you constantly be willing with joy to pour the waters of baptism over those who have repented. For this is the fruit of Christ. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.